Welcome to Farmscape Online. I'm Bruce Cochran. My guest is Dr. Chantelle Farmer, a research scientist in sow lactation with Agriculture and Agri-Food Canada in Sherbrooke. Thanks for joining us, Dr. Farmer.
It's my pleasure to be here.
As part of Saskatchewan Pork Industry Symposium 2019, you'll be discussing research being conducted on behalf of Swine Innovation Pork to increase sow milk yield and enhance growth and weaning weights of suckling piglets through the development of novel feeding and management strategies for replacement gilts and lactating sows. First of all, how do sow milk yield and enhanced growth and weaning weights of suckling pigs go hand in hand, and what are the factors there?
Well, the main, if not only, energy source for piglets is milk. So basically, the piglet relies totally on sow milk for energy. So obviously, the more energy, the more milk the piglet will consume, the greater growth rate. So it's very obvious that the, you know, weight gain of the suckling pig will be related to the amount of milk that will be ingested.
Why is sow milk yield so important?
Well, the piglets could grow more if they would drink more milk. If you take a baby pig and on top of the milk it's getting from its mother, you also give it milk through a bottle, it will grow more. So it's telling us the growth rate capacity of piglets is greater than what it's achieving now through only getting milk from the sow. So anything we can do to stimulate milk yield of the sow will be reflected into a greater weight gain of piglets. So it's something that's very beneficial. Increase milk yield, you will increase growth rate of suckling piglets.
How much milk does the suckling piglet require? Typically, how equipped is the sow to provide adequate amounts of milk? And how and why have those parameters changed over time?
In terms of how much milk is required, I think I would prefer to answer that in terms of colostrum, because that's what's known. The amount of milk, well, obviously, the more milk they have, the more they will grow. But the amount of colostrum that they get within the first 24 hours after birth is crucial, and they need to have 250 grams of colostrum. The colostrum is most important because it provides immunoglobulins. It will enable the piglet to be able to resist to, you know, against diseases later on. So the piglet is born basically with no immunity. It needs to have passive diffusion of these immunoglobulins through the sow colostrum. And obviously, it's a source of energy, growth factors, and a lot of good things for the piglets. But basically, each piglet needs 250 grams of colostrum just to be able to survive and grow afterwards. How is a sow, how is she equipped to provide adequate amounts of milk? Well, she is well equipped, but we have to also provide her with what she needs in terms of management and in terms of nutrition. And this is something that I will cover later on. And then how have the parameters changed over time? We've been asking a lot and a lot more from our sows with years as time goes by. We've selected for sows that produce more milk. Wonderful. But by the same token, we've also selected animals that have a greater litter size. And what we've achieved are, you know, super sows that have we call them hyperprolific sow lines. So you have sows that have, you know, can have easily 18 piglets at birth compared to 10, 12, you know, years ago. So our sows have more piglets. They are also leaner because they have a greater growth rate, because the producers want them to grow also when they're, you know, faster, when they're in the growing stage. So what it means is that we're really putting an extra burden on these animals. They lean, they have great litter size, and they need to produce a lot of milk, but this is getting to be difficult. So we have to a certain extent slow down on litter size, and genetic companies are doing it now to try to look at more characteristics that include the capacity for the sow to produce milk. While increasing litter size even though milk yield was increased, it was not increased to the same extent. So through the years, now we have piglets that drink less. Each little piglet has less milk than years ago because litter size has increased so much. Genetic companies have done a wonderful job, but now the sow really has to follow to make sure that each little piglet is getting enough milk.
What are the key factors that will influence the volume of milk a sow can or will produce, and when, and how will milk yield actually be influenced or established?
There's many factors that influence milk yield. One of them, obviously, is the breed. If you take any breed of pig that's more geared towards meat production, Piétrain, Duroc, whatever, they will produce less milk than the standard white European breeds, Yorkshire, Landrace. Parity will have an effect. Multiparous animals will produce 25% more milk than primiparous animals. So keeping your sows in your herd for a longer period of time is beneficial. The maximal milk yield of a sow is in parities 3 and 4. Most of the time, sadly, we get rid of our sows before they reach parity 4. So that's a waste of these animals. So anything we can do to maintain these animals in the herd up until parity and including parity 4 would be advantageous. Feed intake and lactation is a main point. Sows have to consume more feed to be able to give more milk. Anything the producer can do to optimize the intake of feed during lactation is very important. Another point is the environment. If you have, obviously, heat stress, you know, temperatures above 30, 31 degrees Celsius, the sow will not eat as much, hence will not produce as much milk. Stress is not good in any kind, so if you have a lot of noise in the farrowing barn, the sows will not be able to listen to the squealing of the piglets, and the piglets will not hear the sow grunting. It may disturb the nursing behavior and will, in fact, decrease the amount of milk that the piglets will get. So you need a nice, calm environment with temperatures that are not too high. Another aspect that has received a lot of attention in the past 15 years or so is mammary development. I'm not a nutritionist, so I cannot talk about everything that's being done now in terms of studies in the lactation period to increase energy and protein for the sow. But one thing that's been overlooked is, what do we need to do to maximize mammary development of these animals? We want to make sure that at the beginning of lactation, the number of milk synthesizing cells is maximal. And this can be achieved through various management and feeding strategies before farrowing. In fact, you can affect mammary development at stages where you already have some mammary development taking place. I always say 3 times 0 gives you 0. So if you try to stimulate mammary development when none is going on, it will not have an effect. But before farrowing, there are two phases of rapid mammary development, which is when we can try and go and stimulate it further. And those periods are before puberty, from 90 days of age until puberty. And the second phase is the last third of gestation, so from 90 days of gestation until farrowing. So in those two periods of time, you can try to stimulate mammary development, and that's something I'm working on through hormonal manipulation, through feeding. Basically, they're the two areas that we're looking at to try to increase mammary development at those stages.
How much control does the producer have in terms of influencing mammary development, milk production of the sow herd, and through what methods?
Well, I've mentioned quite a few of them just before. So yes, the producer does have control. He controls the breed of animal. He controls the parity of the animal. He can control the environment, as I mentioned before, making sure the temperature is not too high, no stress. Then you move into all the management in terms of piglet management, so all the cross-fostering techniques and making sure that the piglets do get colostrum from the sow in early lactation. And you also have all the nutritional aspect, which is important. Nutrition in lactation, as I mentioned previously, making sure that the sow is eating as much feed as possible, and nutritional tools that we're learning now that can be used to stimulate mammary development.
What prompted the Swine Innovation Pork Research, and what are the goals through that effort?
Well, basically, I've been working in sow lactation biology for 35 years or so. So this is not new, but basically, Swine Innovation Pork was a wonderful way to get funding to do research. So I've just continued working in this same area I've always been working on, but now through Swine Innovation, I've been able to get funding from the government, and also I also managed to get funding from the private sector to collaborate in these projects. And the goals, I mean, the one goal from my program in this swine cluster is to increase sow milk yield. But to achieve that, right now I'm focusing on management of the growing gilt. So not only growing, but also in gestation. So what is the best way to feed and manage our replacement gilts to make sure that they will produce enough milk? So that's before puberty, and that's also at the end of gestation. And that's what I'm focusing on right now.
What feeding and or management methods are being explored to increase sow milk production, and how are these methods being evaluated?
Okay, as I mentioned before, I'm not a nutritionist, but a lot of people in nutrition are looking at what can be done in lactation. Right now, amino acids have really a lot of interest. What is the best ratio? What amino acids may be required in greater amounts, such as lysine, and at what stage of lactation? There's a way of thinking now from nutritionists that we may need to go into a phase feeding in lactation to make sure that at the end of lactation, the sow has more or all the energy and protein that's needed. So basically, nutrition in lactation is something that's being explored. In my case, I'm looking more at mammary development. So I've been looking before puberty, I've been looking at the effect of feed restriction, which I know is not good. So you don't want to restrict feed intake from 90 days of age to puberty. But I'm doing now studies also looking at feed restriction, but to a smaller extent, and also using fiber in the diet. Let me explain this. Normally, a producer will not use feed restriction for a growing gilt. They will feed them maximum, and there will be no problem. But now we have gilts that grow very fast because they're selected for great growth rate, just as if they were going to go to market. So these animals grow very fast, but we want to keep them in the herd for a long time. And they often have leg problems. Some producers are trying to do a little bit of restriction, feed restriction in the growing period, the growing finishing period, to decrease that growth rate and try to have less leg problems. So now I'm doing a study where instead of looking at a 20% feed restriction, which I know is really bad in growing gilts, I'm looking at a 10% feed restriction to know if that could be a possibility to use to make sure our gilts do not grow too fast. And I'm also looking at the addition of fiber in the diet. If you can dilute the diet with fiber, would that slow down a little bit the growth rate, but also maintain mammary development? So this is what I'm working on now in this cluster program. I've also worked previously using phytoestrogens. So we know that estrogens are essential for mammary development. And if you give a source of a phytoestrogen, which is a plant source of estrogen, in my case, I was using what we call genistein. But if you give a source of plant estrogen to the growing gilt between days 90 and puberty, it will stimulate mammary development. You will have more cells that synthesize milk. Another hormone that's really interesting is prolactin, and that's something I'm also working on in this cluster, trying to see at what specific periods and how we can enhance prolactin concentrations in the animal to stimulate mammary development. One last thing I want to mention is something I've done in the past years, and it's looking at the effect of body condition on mammary development, which is also interesting. So I found that the way we feed the animal in gestation is very important, not only for what it supplies for the fetus and mammary gland and so on, but also in terms of body condition. If you have an animal that eats more feed in gestation, obviously it will grow more. And if you go to the end of gestation and you look at back fat thickness, you see that there is an effect of back fat thickness at the end of gestation on mammary developments, hence milk production. So you don't want to have an animal that has less than 16 millimeters of back fat at the end of gestation. If it has less than that, mammary development will be negatively affected. Anything above 16 millimeters, and I went up to 25, was all right in terms of back fat when you look at mammary development. So feeding in gestation is important also in terms of body condition of the animal at the end of gestation.
What has been learned or accomplished so far, and what is the significance of those accomplishments?
Well, I've mentioned quite a bit of what's accomplished just now. So basically, we've looked at how to feed and how to look at hormones that could assist us in the prepubertal period and at the end of gestation to stimulate mammary development. The significance of this information, I mean, to tell you the truth, I travel all over the world, and I've just been in Saskatchewan 2 weeks ago to talk to the Western Canadian Association of Swine Veterinarians. I'm going to the Saskatchewan Pork Symposium. So it's very significant. Producers want to know what can they do to stimulate mammary development, what can they do to have the sows that will produce more milk to enhance growth rate of the piglets. We do have a problem right now in the industry. We have sows that do not produce enough milk because now they have a lot of piglets. So this information is very, very relevant to the swine sector right now.
How will this knowledge be applied, and by whom, and what are the anticipated overall benefits?
Well, how the work will be applied, basically, the information is given very much so in terms of symposium. I give talks everywhere, as I mentioned before. I also publish in technical magazines, so the Canadian Journal, which used to be the Western Hog Journal. So the Canadian Hog Journal, Ontario Pork, Parc Quebec, so, and also obviously in scientific articles for people who follow that information. So the information is made available, and it's basically, nutritionists and veterinarians are really key in assisting in the transfer of the information also. So when the information is given to veterinarians and nutritionists, then they will apply it so that the producer can use it. But when I talk to producer associations, the producer understand what I'm telling them, and they can also use that information directly to affect their their herd. One thing I did not mention before, and I think is important to mention, in terms of mammary development, there's something that's quite novel and interesting for producers to know, and it's that whether a teat is being used in parity one, does this have an effect on the amount of milk that teat would produce in parity two? So a recent finding that I've discovered is that if a teat is not used in parity one, it will not produce as much milk in parity two. So on day 56 of age, there was a 1.12 kilogram difference in parity two between a piglet sucking a teat that was used previously or a teat that was not used previously. And that's important for producers because if they have a primiparous animal that is very thin and has a lot of piglets, they may decide to remove some of the piglets in therapy. One, to give her a break, to make sure that she will be able to have a decent body condition and, you know, have a decent longevity also. But now they know if they remove some piglets at birth from that sow, the teats that are not suckled will be affected in the next lactation. Then I've done a second study, and what I've done is then I've compared lactation duration of either 2 days, 7 days, or 21 days in parity one, and looked at the effect on parity two. And what I found is there is no difference. So if you leave a piglet on a sow in parity one for 2 days, 7 days, 21 days, it's all the same in terms of the influence it has on production of milk in the next parity. So what it's telling me is that the producers that have a problem with their lean primiparous sows need to leave the piglets on those sows for 2 days. Then on day three, they can come and remove piglets to give a chance for these animals that have poor body condition, and mammary development should be okay the next lactation so that they will produce enough milk. So this is something that is quite significant for producers to know.
How can anyone interested get more information?
Well, I'm easy to join, so anybody in the government has the same email. So mine is chantal.farmer@canada.ca. So people can reach me directly, and if I get requests, I can send written information on specific topics. I can send review articles, and obviously if people organize a symposia, well, they can ask me to give a talk. Sadly enough, there is not a lot of people right now working in sow lactation, so I cannot say ask those five people in Canada, because there are not five people in Canada who work on the topic. But I'm still available for a couple of years before I retire, and I'd be happy to provide information when needed.
And is there anything you would like to add?
Well, just thank you for the opportunity to talk to producers. It's something that I think it's most useful, because as a scientist, obviously doing the research and publishing the scientific papers is essential. But to me, getting the information out to the people who are actually using it is where I'm being really most useful. So this interview is giving me that opportunity. So thank you very much.
And thank you very much. Our guest has been Dr. Chantal Farmer, a research scientist in sow lactation with Agriculture and Agri-Food Canada in Sherbrooke. For Farmscape Online, I'm Bruce Cochran.